You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with Alex Stone and Andy Holding, looking ahead to Navan's card on Sunday. It's also a good card at Limerick to look forward to on Sunday, but we're going to focus on Navan, a strong seven race card to look forward to, and hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Mr. Holding, how are you?
Morning, Mr. Dunn. Very well.
Good to hear. Really, really good card this, isn't it? I mean, sometimes on a Sunday we get some moderate stuff, but this has really sort of whet the appetite. Now that the flat season's fully in gear, you've got a lot of horses here that maybe are not having their first run of the season. You know, they're beginning to be fully tuned up, and there could be some pretty smart performers in here.
Yeah, the vintage crop holds centre stage, doesn't it? Of course, included last year's Royal Ascot Gold Cup win itself, leading light, who took it in 2014, and we've got a stellar lineup this year as well, haven't we? We've Forgotten Rolls answered, and one or two other floaters in that. We've got a good 6 furlong handicap. We've got a couple of nice maidens to kick off the card for the two-year-olds, and a decent conditions race to start. Some good handicaps towards the back end, and yeah, lots of interesting runners and races. So yeah, I'm quite looking forward to today, and I've got lots of bets up my sleeve as well.
Good. OK then, we'll jump into the action with the 2:15. It is a race over 6 furlongs, and we've only got the 7 going to post, which could be a little bit unfortunate here, Andy, but Toscanini has been well back this morning, brings the best form to the table, but he's coming up against a potentially smart type in Father Frost, and two horses that have shown a fair bit of ability, both representing the Qatar Racing colours in Beachbell and Enape. Not going to have it all his own way here, Toscanini, but hard to beat?
Very much so, if he replicates that form on his last start as a two-year-old. He should be winning this, really, providing he's somewhere near his best. He might not have to be somewhere near his best to take care of today's opponents. But that run, of course, behind Glen Eagles in the National Stakes, which is a Group 1 contest, should ensure that A, he goes off odds on, and B, he ought to win. Ducks Connection back in third, also around well in the Guinness, so the form is really solid. He was a horse I really liked last year, although he only won the once, and that was on the all-weather at Dundalk. He always dined at the very top table. He produced some very good speed figures. Funny enough, his best figure on the numbers was behind Dick Whittington in the Anglesey Stakes at the Group 3 at the Curragh in the middle of July. But he hasn't run for 245 days, which is only a slight concern. And if he is to come unstuck, his main opponent and the chief beneficiary could be Enape from the Joe Lyons stable, filly who had a good year as a two-year-old. She was good in the early part of the season. She posted a very fast time at Nace on her debut and got the older clock watchers' pulses racing. She won again next time out at the Curragh, and you'd have to say, therefore, she was slightly disappointing towards the back end. She missed Royal Ascot. She went to Donegal, beat. Ran okay there from a modest draw. Made a reasonable comeback on ground that she wouldn't have really appreciated. And that form's working out quite well. The speed figure the race suggests that Great Minds is a very useful horse in his own right. But I like the way Enape kept on quite well from the back of the field. Today, ridden by Oisin Orr, who's one of the big stars on the apprentice jockey front in Ireland. He's had a couple of winners of late, Balmont Blast and Iron Major. And the fact that Joe Lyons has put his trust in this £10 claim suggests that he thinks he's capable of coming up to scratch. So the sensible move would be to forget Toscanini, because we don't know about his fitness state. But I'm pretty sure that Enape, even if he doesn't beat the favourite, will probably finish second. So let's bet Enape without the favourite with William Hill.
OK, without the favourites, good market to get involved in there, especially with the seven runners. The each-way term slightly diminished, but a pretty safe bet there.
Just 7 to 7-4 without the favourite as well.
As things stand, 7-4, so
yep.
Not bad. Ashin Orr, Andy, gets the leg up on that one. What do we know about him? Obviously, something of a newcomer. That's reflecting the fact that he's claiming 10, but they must think a fair bit of him to be putting him on a horse of this quality at such an early stage in his career.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that he's ready for an assignment such as this. Very tidy in the plate, sits well, good under pressure, good in a finish, balanced as well in a finish. He doesn't look as though he's out of sync with his horse. I love the fact that he managed to win on Iron Major as well. Mm. Iron Major is a tricky old bugger, and the fact that he managed to get the best out of that, iffy customer, suggests that he's a bright young talent. And the fact that, like I say, Jer's put him on him at this early stage in his career on a horse like this suggests that he also thinks he's ready to step up in grade.
Okay, and often good when you do find an apprentice claiming 10 or 7 or whatever you can get. If they are very, very good, it makes sense to just follow them. And we've seen in recent years plenty of jockeys like that, then certainly worth following.
Definitely, well, yeah, definitely. He's a bright lad. I think he's an excellent, good apprentice coming through. There are many of them, but he's one of the top ones.
Mm. Okay, then, we'll move on to the 250, which is a maiden over 5 furlongs. Not a whole lot of form to go off here, Andy, but Stone Mountain heads affairs for Aidan O'Brien and Joseph O'Brien. 7-4 as we speak, does have the benefit of a run, and wasn't a bad run, shaped pretty well. Comes up against a few likely types, but they are making their debut. Do you think the experience will count for a lot here?
Well, put it this way, if there's a prize for the worst-priced and unfathomable-priced horse of the day, it has to go to Stone Mountain. Win, lose or draw, 7-4 is an absolute shocking price. In fact, I wouldn't even make him favourite myself, because his performance first time out at Nace was not very impressive at all. He was off the bridle with 3 to run. He was pushed along. He was hanging to his left. He switched right and he ran into horses and he was lugging in, and he got in all sorts of trouble in the latter stages. He then faded with a furlong to run, and he didn't look anywhere near the standard that they thought he might be on the day. Argentiero, the winner of that race, has got beat since. So all in all, you'd be a brave man if you want to back this horse at 7-4. I think he'd go off sort of 3-1 myself, because there's bound to be money for plenty of the others who think they can get him beat. You've got Geraldine's horse, Wapu Cove. You've got 2 horses for money this morning from Powerful Stables. Old Enemy has been well back from the David Watchman camp. You've got Edward Lynham's filly by Dark Angel, promised money as well, definite cash for her as well. So those are all stacking up as potential dangers. But I'm going to go with a horse who's already had a run, and it was in a race which I urge podcasters now to stay on the right side. I tipped a horse called Rue Bonaparte, who finished second to Madame Thunder in a very hot maiden at Nace on debut. And the time figure of that race was the second best figure I've got in Ireland so far. So obviously the form is working out well with the second winning. And this Glonya, who showed it quite prominently in that race before getting out of pace and then not being punished in the latter stages, dropped back to finish 6th, but still comes out reasonably well on my figures. A lot of Jim Bolger's T-Rolls have needed the run this season, largely. He hasn't had many first-time out winners, but the ones that have finished 2nd, 3rd, 4th and showed promise have all gone forward in a rush. But I do think that race is worth following. Whether she'll be quite good enough to win up against one or two promising types, I wouldn't be absolutely sure, but I'd rather back her each way around about 8-9-1 than I would Stone Mountain.
Okay, fair enough. So a bit of value there in the 250, but the message is avoid the fav.
Avoid the fav.
At the prices.
Yep.
The 320 is next up. Handicap over 5 furlongs and plenty of old favourites in here, Andy. Plenty of old favourites who arrive here in really good form as well. Bubbly Bellini, In Salutem, Russian Soul, all come here off the back of really, really good runs last time out. But we are 6-1 the field at the time of recording, Andy, and it's an open race.
Yeah, it's a belter, this. Lots of the old favourites are in here. This is a good quality sprint. It's a case of Equine Bingo a little bit. They all take it in turns to beat each other on separate occasions at different tracks, on different ground, and obviously the draw has a huge bearing on results as well. Usually speaking, at Navan, when the ground's on the easy side or the genuinely soft, they tend to come down the middle to stand side, and those that are drawn high have an advantage. But on genuine good ground, which it is at Navan today, it might well be that far side rail hole sway. So if you like, the lower the number, arguably the better. And with that in mind, that could just slightly count against In Salutem, a horse I tipped last time out until getting beat by Bubbly Bellini. in the latter stages of that nice handicap, which was run at a strong pace. I do like Insolutum. I think he's a sprinter going in the right direction. If the draw isn't a problem, then he'd have a chance, but I am concerned that Sol 16 might be his undoing. Bubbly Bellini's not overly well berthed in trap 11. And the same can be said for Shipyard as well, another horse who's got fantastic form here at Navan. This seems to be his favourite track. His only two career victories have both come at this venue. He's been in the doldrums either side of that on certain occasions, and he hasn't come here in great form before winning again. So even though his form figures don't look brilliant, I wouldn't roll him out. But I think the percentage call here, being as he's drawn right slap bang in the middle of the track, so he could go either way depending on how the race pans out. His Master Speaker, the horse has finished second on his last three runs. Now you look at his form figures and you think, oh, is this horse a bit of a dodgepot? I actually don't think he is. I just think he's been running in very, very hot handicaps where the pace has been strong, and he's just basically found one too good for him on the day. He's been beaten fair and square, but there's nothing iffy about his character. And I think he'll run his race again here more likely than most. He comes out really well on my speed figures. All his numbers are really stacking up. That second the other day beyond Chicklet, Tracy Collins' charge absolutely scorched the turf at Dundalk, and he had no chance of keeping up with that in-form filly. Prior to that, he finished a very good second beyond Insolutum, again in a fast time. So it's all stacking up for Master Speaker here to run his race. With four places on offer, drawn right in the middle with his good speed figures, I'm pretty sure that Master Speaker is going to be there or thereabouts.
OK, Master Speaker in the 3:20 race. Number four is the Coolmore Vintage Crop Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and six furlongs. And it's an absolutely fascinating race, Andy. Forgotten Rules, very, very smart performer from last year. Well backed and is now odds against as we record this, which is about 10:30 on Sunday morning. But though he is classy, he's got a giveaway to weigh. And he's coming up against some nice types in Answered, in Biographer. You've got the likes of Panama Hat, who was, fantastic going through the handicap last year. Obviously, this is a more difficult race. But you've also got the eight runners, Andy. If you are willing to take something each way, this is a really, really nice race.
Yeah, it is, yeah. This vintage crop always is worth more than a second look, because often the Gold Cup winner comes out this race. Aidan O'Brien, of course, has farmed it in recent times. And Leading Light continued the trend last year. Unfortunately, for Aidan, he hasn't arguably got a superstar into division unless Kingfisher can make the grade, but the chances are that he probably won't come up to scratch. So that leaves us with two or three to concentrate on here. Obviously, the big stellar horse, marquee horse, could turn out to be Forgotten Rules, who's very much been campaigned in the style of Dermot Well, bringing him along very gradually. He hasn't really rushed his career at all. He obviously knows he's got a very good horse. He looked the part when he won a bumper at Punchestown at the festival last year. He's done absolutely nothing wrong with two runs on the flat so far. Bolting up at Galway, beating a good field. And then before he went to the Group 2 at Ascot towards the back end of the season on Champions Day, and he beat again another stellar field on heavy ground. Ground that probably was a little bit too deep for him, but he still showed his class. He produced a very fast speed figure. He's obviously potentially a Gold Cup horse. Melbourne Cup horse down the line. I think that's the race that probably Dermot Weld would want to revisit again after winning it many years ago with Vintage Crop. And this horse could take him to those heady heights. But he's up against Answered here, who very much is going the right way in the care of Jim Bulger. As the distance bar keeps getting raised, he seems to be getting a little bit better. He was a good winner at the listed race towards the back end of last year at the Leopardstown. And then on debut at Limerick, he bolted up in the listed race. It wasn't a great field, but the time of the race is good, and the sectional times from three out suggested this horse was absolutely flying at the finish. He came home in 35 and changed from the corner that day. Nothing got anywhere near it on the numbers. So the further he went, the better he was. Tom Sigal's obviously gone through in the racing post today. And with that fitness advantage, it could well be that Answer gives him a huge amount to think about. And also want to mention the big price as well. I've got a massive amount of time for this mare. I do think she'll finish in the frame here today. Whether she's good enough to win, I don't know, but Toe the Line is very, very useful in her own right. She's yet to be out the frame in her 9 competitive starts. She hated the ground first time out at Cork, but her best form is all on better ground. And at 20-1, I do think Toe the Line has got a half a chance of sneaking the frame. So I'm going to play Answered and Toe the Line here against the favourite. Answered will be a good, strong bet at 3s, but a little bit each way, and Toe the Line also won't go miss.
OK, fair enough. The 4:25 is next up, a maiden over a mile and 5 furlongs. And some likely types in here, Andy. You'd imagine there'll be quite a few winners coming out of this race. Looks pretty hot. And the first well, the first two in the market, one trained by Dermot Well, one trained by Aidan O'Brien, arguably bring the strongest form to the table. Which one do you fancy?
Well, I think Time to Inspire sets the standard from that Curra run. Got beat by Sandro Botticelli, but we've already seen Whitehaven Bay, who was six in that race, Bolter, but Dundalk the other night, so that form looked solid. It was a fairly slowly run race, but they did not quicken up from three out, hence the fact the back end of the race was a bit of a sprint, and that's why they finished in a bit of a heap. But the sectional time suggested they were absolutely flying, and Time to Inspire did really well to finish second. He's up in trip here, as his pedigree suggests, by Galileo of Anutter. A Danehill mare should easily get a mile five, and he could well turn out to be a Royal Ascot horse after today. Who knows? He's the most likely winner. But I do like the run of Torcedor the other day at Sligo in a really evenly run race, won by Zebek, who got plenty of experience and got the good ride from the front from Declan McDonough. Front runners often dominated Sligo. Back in fourth that day was a horse called Novus Adventure, who I put up on the podcast at Nacy the night, and he's come out and franked the form. He also ran a little bit wide off the home turn as well, which inconvenienced his overall performance. But it was nice that he stayed on very strongly through the line in the latter stages. And interestingly, Billy Lee's obviously gone off him and said, look, this horse just needs a bit of cheek pieces just to get his head down and probably not concentrate and concentrate his mind a bit more than last time when he wandered off the bend. So Torcedor at the prices this morning, around about 6-7-1, would be my each way alternative to the favourite.
OK, the penultimate race is a filly's handicap over a mile and two furlongs. And Curvy heads affairs as we speak, Andy, and has been supported this morning as well. But again, plenty of inform types coming up against her and quite a few unexposed types that could improve from their last run. What do you fancy here?
I'm a big fan of this Curvy. Everyone loves a Curvy filly, and she definitely has got all the shapes in the right places, and she certainly strutted her stuff first time out at Navan, stepping up markedly in what she'd done as a two-year-old. I just think she was too backward and green to do herself justice as a young horse, because she's quite a big leggy, big framed individual. But she seemed to have blossomed over the winter period. She was nicely backed on debut, back from double figures into 5-1. She got the job done in scintillating fashion. I napped a horse called Ringside Humour, who was second that day, and she couldn't lay a glove on this Curvy. Absolutely left my nap for dead that day. And my breath was taken away. And even more so when I went back and did the sectional times for this Curvy. It was no wonder that she won that race so easily. She ran the last part of the race in 51.8 from the top of the hill. Now, you compare that to the two group fillies on the same card, Bocca Bacchiata and Fluff. They did 52.5 and 52.7 respectively. Now, those two horses are going to be ending up running in Oaks races later on in the year. We've seen the form of both of those two mains work out really well. So this Curvy must be something special here. And off a rating of just 84, I think the David Watchman team, along with me, will be scratching my head if she doesn't manage to go forward and win again. And she was, like I say, she's very, very strong in the latter part of that race. If she's anywhere near them going down the dip into the bottom of the hill, nothing will be staying on stronger than Curvy. It isn't a particularly strong race beyond her. So I'd expect her to confirm form with Ringside Humour. I think she'll be good enough to beat the rest. And I think she's the best bet on the card and gets a nap vote in the 455.
OK, Curvy, a very confident selection then in the penultimate contest. And the final race is the 5:30. It is a maiden over a mile. And once again, Aidan and Joseph O'Brien team up with the favourite here in Ginsha Lake. Really, really good run on debut. That was 221 days ago. And a few of Aidan O'Brien's have needed the run, Andy. Would that put you off?
It would a little bit, but I'm going to select this horse on the basis of, I think, that form of that Navan maiden towards the back end of last year was a really good one. Moyed, actually the winner of that race, hasn't probably gone forward as well as the Prendergast team would have liked. He was hugely impressive that day in beating Ginsha Lake. His two runs this year have been okay, but yet he's failed to win. He did finish third behind Dermot Wells or Zorak in one of the Guinness trials early on in the year. But that's about as best as you can muster so far. What we can say is that the horses in behind that Moyed that day have all gone out and franked the form. Giovanni Canaletto, we haven't seen him out since, but he won next time out. The likes of King of Aragon, Harold Pito and Sheba have all won subsequently. It was just a really good solid race. The figure suggested it was. And I like the way that Ginsha Lake picked up in the latter stages under a tender ride. Wasn't really that much expected of him that day as well. He was a 25-1 poke. He's by Galileo. I'm actually a little bit concerned that he's still running over a mile, but maybe he's been showing a bit more speed at home than his pedigree suggests. But either way, I think Ginsha Lake has the form. It's at the track, and I'm just relying on Aidan O'Brien's qualities to get this horse fit and ready first time out.
OK, Ginsha Lake, the pick then in the lucky last. Great stuff, Andy. Thanks for your time, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow ahead of Roscommon.
Will do. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.